I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 John, the second epistle of John, almost all the way to the end of your Bible by the book of Revelation. Now, John, the author of this short epistle, it's only 13 verses, but the author is the Apostle John, and he calls himself the elder. He says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. He may refer to his office as an elder, for he was an apostle and an elder. He may refer to his age. You know, John lived to be 90 or 100, according to all the reports. He outlived all of the apostles. The other apostles were all martyred, but John was put on the Isle of Patmos, where he wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ, where the Lord appeared to him and gave him the book of Revelation. But he calls himself the elder. Maybe his office, maybe his age, but... And he writes, he addresses this epistle not to a church as most of the epistles are addressed, to the church at Galatia, the church at Ephesus, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi, or whatever. But many believe that he's addressing this epistle to a certain woman, a devout, believing woman and her children. That may be. And we shouldn't think this strange at all that John would address, if in fact he did, this epistle to a certain elect woman. Because in Christ there's neither male nor female, but both one in him. And I know that the man is the head of the woman. The Word of God teaches that. The man, Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman. The Word of God emphatically and strongly declares that. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands in the Lord, which is right. And God said to Eve after the fall, he said, your husband shall rule over you. And that is so. The man is the head of the woman. He is the authority in the home. God recognized authority in the home and also in the church. That's what the Apostle Paul repeatedly declares in the book of 1 Corinthians and the book of Timothy, that men are to preach and to teach the Word of God. And the woman is not to usurp authority over the man at all, but to be in subjection. And so that being true, the man is the head of the woman. He's the head of the home. He is also the authority in the church under Christ. But the woman, like the man, is elected by the love of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ. And she's God's elect child. She's God's daughter, sons of God, daughters of God. She's the servant of the Lord. She's the servant of the Lord in the home and in the church. You think of our Lord's special attention to certain women. How that he went down in Samaria. And he didn't meet a man at that well. He met a woman. And he revealed himself to her. He talked to her. Revealed himself to her and brought her to the knowledge of the gospel. And she was used of God as an instrument to bear witness to the men of the town and brought them out to hear the Lord. She was a very special woman to our Lord, the Samaritan woman. And then Mary and Martha, who can say enough about Mary, who was so special to our Lord, who sat at his feet and heard his words, who was so devoted to Christ, and Martha. Our Lord spent much time in that home where Lazarus and those two sisters lived, and they cared for his needs and served him, and they were special to him. And then the woman with the issue of blood, the Syrophoenician woman. There's just so many women that the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom he paid very special attention and very special care. They meant a great deal to him, ministering to him. And then go back through the Bible and think of Miriam, Moses' sister. Think of Ruth, about whom a whole book was written, her relationship with Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Ruth, faithful. Think of Esther. And what can be said about Esther? How powerfully God used her to deliver the whole nation of Israel, wasn't it, at one time? Esther. Think of Lydia in the town of Philippi, how God opened her heart and how her home became Paul's headquarters. That's where Paul found refuge and rest. She cared for his needs, and he conducted his ministry out of her home, the home of Lydia. I would like you to turn to this scripture, 2 Timothy. Listen to what Paul says about young Timothy and about his grandmother and his mother. He doesn't mention Timothy's father, but he mentions Timothy's grandmother and his mother in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Listen, 2 Timothy 1, 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in you, not hypocritical, but genuine faith, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. You know, Paul said this about Timothy too. He said, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wonder who taught him. I think I know his grandmother and his mother. They're very special people. Very special. And over in Romans 16, turn over there a moment. Romans chapter 16. Listen to Paul here. He kind of comes to the end of this magnificent book about which Calvin said, John Calvin said, if a man could learn something about the book of Romans, he'd have in his hand the key to all the treasures of God's word. And when Paul came to the end of Romans, he begins to thank people who've been a blessing to him. Romans 16, verse 3, greet Priscilla. Wonder who that is. Priscilla. And Aquila, my helpers in Christ. A woman. Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestoweth much labor on us. Right along there with that hall of pain, you know, there in Romans 16. And then Philippians, he said this in Philippians 4. If you don't want to turn over, I'll read it to you. Philippians 4, verse 3, Paul said this, Philippians 4, 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Help those women who labored with me in the gospel. And while we're on it, turn to Proverbs. Chapter 31. Proverbs 31. I tell you, this church right here owes a debt of gratitude and praise to many faithful, dedicated, godly women. And I'm so thankful for them. So thankful for them. Can't say enough about them. In Proverbs 31, verse 25, listen to this. Talking about these women, these faithful, godly women of the Lord. Strength, Proverbs 31, 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Isn't that beautiful? And how thankful we are. You can get across a good point with humor, so I'm going to have a little humor here, if you don't mind. Doris was teaching her Sunday school class many years ago. And some of you heard me tell this. I'll tell it again. I like it. I'll probably tell it again before I die. But anyway, she was lecturing their class back there, the first and second graders. And she was talking about Christ, the unspeakable gift. Christ, the unspeakable gift. She asked the little children, she said, "Now, what's God's greatest gift to man? Greatest gift to man?" And one of the little girls raised her hand, and she's a big girl now. She's here this morning, I'm sure. She's a beautiful young woman. Now, she may have the same opinion now, I don't know, but she raised her hand. And Doris said, called her name, said, "What is God's greatest gift to man?" She said, "Woman." And I'll tell you, Christ, I know, is the greatest gift, His grace and love and mercy. But that little girl wasn't far wrong. That is a great gift. And this book, go back to my text now. You say, you've got plumb away from 2 John. Yeah, we've enjoyed it, though, haven't we? I tell these preachers, don't write you a manuscript and try to stay with it. Just get a text and see if God will bless you. Barney one time said, "I've got an outline. I hope I don't have to use it." The elder unto the elect lady. Now I'll give another point here. It may be, I like to think he's writing to the elect lady and her children, a godly woman and her children who are grown up walking in the ways of God. But it may be he's addressing a church. Down here in verse 13, the last verse, it says, "The children of thy elect sister greet thee." He may be talking about another lady. He may be talking about a church. The church is often called her or woman. Did you know that? Song of Solomon, Christ compares the church to a bride, to a woman. They're a beautiful book, talking about the relationship between Christ and His people. And Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. And then in Ephesians 5, it tells us this, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And wives, be submissive to your husbands as the church is submissive to Christ." And He said, "Behold, I tell you," I talk about a mystery, and that's Christ and His bride. So, and also the bride in the Revelation, the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ is the church. So it may be, I do not know, but the content of the book is more important than the person to whom it's addressed. I'm sure of that. Well, let's read on. I'm going to read verse 1 through 6, and I want you to, if you will, here's my assignment. I want you to see in the most prominent words in these verses. One word is used 5 times, and one word is used 4 times. And I want you to look for them. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment that, as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. What are those words? Well, they're truth and love. Truth is used 5 times, and love is used 4 times. Truth and love. Now, what is truth? What is truth? The elect elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. You've known the truth, and you're walking in the truth. What is truth? Well, truth is that which conforms with fact and reality. It's the opposite of falsehood. Truth is fact. Truth is reality. Our Lord said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from falsehood. Free from error. Free from fables. If you know the truth will make you free. It'll free you from traditions. Have you ever asked someone, why do we do this? Well, we've always done it. Why do we believe this? Well, we've always believed it. Well, is it so? Well, I don't know. But truth is fact. Truth is reality. And truth will free you from fable. It'll free you from error and falsehood. It'll free you from tradition. Truth will free you from false religion. How many are the people that the Catholics because their parents were Catholics? Are they Baptists because their parents were Baptists? Are they Protestants or Jews or whatever because their parents? That's where they were raised. Have they ever taken the time to investigate it? To study, to find out, to search the scriptures to see if these things be so? I asked a man one time, I said, why do you believe what you believe? He said, well, my pastor believes it. Well, I said, why does your pastor believe? Well, that's what you're supposed to believe if you belong to our church, you know. Well, the Thessalonians, they searched the scriptures to see if these things be so, even when they heard Paul preach. What it would mean to me if everybody here would take the text which we cover each Sunday that's in the Bible classes out here Sunday mornings. Tonight I'm going to preach from Romans 10, the first 17 verses. Study it this afternoon. Get your commentaries down. Get some help down. Study it. Ask God to reveal it to you. That's what I'm going to do. Find out if it's so. Fact. Reality. Truth. It'll deliver you from tradition. It'll deliver you from false religion. It'll deliver you from superstition. I was raised in the deep South, and I'm telling you, we had some superstition. There were folks with horseshoes hanging over the doors of their barns. Supposed to be good luck. Horseshoe turned a certain way, you know. You'd spill salt and throw it over your shoulder. People walk around ladders, they wouldn't walk under them. They talk about black cats crossing your path, and if a screech owl sounded in the yard, somebody's going to die, and death came in threes, and all these things, you know, that they passed along to me that when I was a child, I thought, well, I reckon it's so, like that book about that boy you gave me to read, and just took those things to be so. Well, truth will free you from that. Free you from superstition and free you from ceremony. Why? Have you ever watched these fellows in religion with all these uniforms and they've got a certain thing to sprinkle and out on the people and then they make certain crosses and then they do this and then they go up this aisle and down that aisle. You ever ask why they're doing it? Everybody just stands there, you know, like this and puts the money in the pot, you know, and keeps on depending on that. Why do they do it? Why? Truth will free you from that. Set you free. Know the truth and be free. Truth will free you from ceremony. It'll free you from tradition. It'll free you from false hope. Truth will set you free, Christ said. You know the truth. Well, what is truth? in this sense that we're reading right here, the truth. What is the truth? There's the truth, and then there's the truth. There's truths, and then there's truth. These are truths. See if these are not truth. God created the heavens and the earth. That's true. It is true that God is omnipotent and almighty. Let God be God. That's true. That's a truth. It is true that God is holy, just, and righteous. That is true. It is true that men are sinners. Is that not true? Men are sinners. It is true that God purposed from all eternity to redeem sinners. That's what the Word of God declares. God purposed to redeem sinners. It is true that God sent His Son into the world. I don't suppose there's any religious person of any ceremony, tradition, or whatever that would not say Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. It's true He died on a cross. Your calendar tells you that. It tells 1992 A.D., 1992 years from the death of Christ in the year of our Lord. So many years B.C. The calendar tells you that. Josephus, in his history book, will tell you that Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross. It is true, those things are true, that He was resurrected. He was seen by 500 witnesses after He rose from the grave. True. But you know the truth here. I've had you look at this word five times. It's used. The truth is not mere fact. A man can know facts. He can acknowledge facts and not know the truth. Truth is not mere facts. It's not merely the acknowledgement of facts and reality. Did not James say this? The devil believes there's one God and trembles. That's acknowledging a fact. But the devil does not know the truth. He does not embrace the truth. So truth is a person. That's right. Turn to John. I want to show you this in the book. Truth is a person. A person can know many facts. He can know much about reality, as opposed to error and falsehood, but he can only know the truth as he knows Christ, because Christ is truth. He can only embrace truth as he embraces Christ. John 14, verse 6, listen. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, Thomas had just asked him, verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm the truth. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let me show you some more scripture. Turn to John 18 while we're over in this part of John. John 18, verse 37. Listen to this. John 18:37. Christ was before Pilate. John 18:37. And Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king? Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. I'm the truth. See, everything that is true of God is revealed and known in Christ. We may know a series of truths, but the truth altogether, the truth of God, the truth of His mercies, the truth of His grace, the truth of His creation, the truth of His providence, the truth of His grandness, of His greatness, is all revealed in Christ. Let me show you that in John 1. Listen to this. John 1. You need to go over here with me and watch this. John 1. Verse 14. John 1. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law is given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Read on. No man has seen God. Now, that God exists is true. But a man can't know God and the will of God and the purpose of God and the ways of God unless he knows Christ. You see what I'm saying? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Do you see what I'm saying? Question arises, is it possible for a person to know truth and not know God? Can a person read and hear and be exposed to facts, existence of God, even the coming of Christ, even the death of Christ, even certain doctrines? Can a person know these facts and doctrines and truths about God and not be a child of God and not know God? Well, the answer has to be yes. Has to be yes. And I think I can show you that from the Word, if you care to turn. Matthew 22. You see what I'm asking now? I'm saying the questioner, is it possible for a person to know truths? Well, I believe in God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe Christ came. I believe God's sovereign. God's almighty. I believe in the law. I believe in morality and all. And a person know these facts, I'm free from ceremonialism and tradition and circumcision and all fables and superstitions and things like that. I'm a person who thinks for himself. I know there's life after death. But can a person know these things, these facts and things that are acquainted truths, that are acquainted with reality, and still not know God? The answer has to be yes. Now listen to these scriptures, Matthew 22, verse 15. Matthew 22, 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle Christ in his talk. They didn't understand his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that you're true, and we know you teach the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of me. We know you're true. But they didn't know him. They couldn't understand what he was saying. They didn't understand his gospel. They couldn't put it together. But yet they say, we know you. What did Nicodemus say to him? Well, you know you come from God. No man could do what you do except God be with him. They knew that. They knew the facts. Turn to Luke 4 and listen to this. These are the demons here. Now listen to this. These are demons. Like James says, the devil believes there's one God. Well, listen, these are demons in Luke 4:33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? We know who you are. We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You see what I'm saying? Truths. God created the world. There is a God. Christ did come, died on a cross, buried, and rose again. Truths. Man will live again. Truths. But there is a truth in which all these truths come together. There's the purpose of God, the glory of God that is revealed somewhere, and that's revealed in Christ. Now, go back to my text in 2 John. Now, you substitute the name Christ where you find the word truth. And you know, the Apostle Paul was a man who knew a lot of facts, but he didn't know God. He didn't know the way and the will of God, the redemptive glory of God. He said in Philippians, he said, if anybody want to glory in the flesh, he said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, I studied under Gamaliel. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless. All these things. But I didn't know God. And one day God revealed his Son in me. Now, read 2 John 1 through 4, putting the name Christ where truth is. The elder unto the elect lady with her children and her children, whom I love in Christ. And not I only, but also they that have known Christ. For Christ's sake, who dwells in us and shall be with us. Grace be to you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of the Father in Christ, in love. I rejoice greatly I found your children walking in Christ. As you have received Christ, walk in him. He's the truth. You see that? He's the truth. He's the truth. Now, I told you another word, love, and here's the key word, the word love. Truth and love can't be separated. Christ and love. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And that cannot be separated. And this is the key word. And I can show it to you if you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now those who know the truth of God, you see, the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is truth. This is the true God, and this is eternal life, and we're in him that's truth. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, listen to this. And then shall that wicked one, that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There it is, the love of the truth. The love of the truth. Let me read you a passage over here. It says, he was in this world, and the world was made by him. The world didn't know him. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, loved him, submitted to him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God. So this thing of truth is all in Christ, and a man who knows the truth, knows Christ, and loves Christ, he receives Christ. And when he receives Christ, God reveals unto him his way and his will and his word. You see, truth without love has no life. It's facts. Truth without love for God and love for Christ has no life. And love, if it were possible without truth, has no understanding. It has no credibility. Truth without love has no life. Love without truth has no credibility. So that's what he's writing here about to this elect lady. He says, we love you in truth in Christ. And those who know the truth love you. Now, I've got to go on just a minute more, and then I'll quit the rest of this chapter. I'm going to read it. Verse 7. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. They may preach some truths, but they don't preach the truth. All of God's eternal purposes are revealed in Christ. God's will is revealed in Christ. God's person, God's glory. And if you don't preach that God came in human flesh, he says this is a deceiver. This is an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. It's not just doctrines of truths, it's the doctrine of Christ. Not just the doctrines of grace, it's the doctrine of Christ. He hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That's everything's revealed in Christ. Now, if any come to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I want you to turn to one other scripture over in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, they're religious folks, they're religious leaders, and the world's full of them, and what Peter's saying here, it always has been. And the error is, it has to do with a person. If a man, you say, what's a man, if a man's preaching the truth or not preaching the truth, it depends on that person he's preaching. It's all in Christ. Christ is the truth. And a man may preach certain truths, but unless they come together in Christ, unless they come together in Christ Jesus, in the person of Christ, in the person and work of Christ, it's just a series of truths, but not the truth. God is only known in Christ, and his will is revealed in Christ. And this is what Peter's saying here, same thing John said, 2 Peter 2, there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Back yonder in the days of Israel, there were false teachers, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them. That's who they deny, it's Christ. That's the key. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious, lascivious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness. What do they covet? They covet fame and glory and gain and silver and gold and a lot of other things. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Where's the error? Person of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. And this is where it all comes together. This is where God reveals himself and his will and his glory and his purpose in Christ Jesus. He's the truth. He's the truth. And if they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and all that pertains to that, who he is, you shall know the truth. The Son make you free. You're free indeed. It's all revealed in him. You can't, a person can know some facts, but all those things come together in Christ. All come together in him.